Gary, please come and share the word of God with us.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gary.
Okay. So let's begin with asking for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for giving us your word from heaven. Lord, we thank you that we come here, Lord, realizing that your word is deep and great and life-giving and powerful, and to be handled with the utmost respect and care. So, Lord, we ask that you would help in the teaching of your word, that it would be clear, it would be precise, it would be according to your will, and that, Lord, you would achieve the good that you want to achieve here in our lives. We thank you in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so you have in your handout, worship guide, you have the note page with the scriptures. We're going to go ahead and read, and I think it's going to be on the screen as well, so however you prefer to read it. But we're going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Okay, so Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Verse 1, on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Verse 5, and others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whosoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road, and the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one in whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Thank God for the reading of his word. Okay, so as was the custom of the Lord Jesus, in many occasions he taught in parables. This particular parable is mentioned in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And we will kind of draw from those other accounts as we go through. But a parable is a story or illustration that has a corresponding spiritual meaning that is not apparent. So it has a spiritual meaning that is not apparent. The hearer must understand the analogy if he is to be instructed. Or another way of saying it is, without an explanation of the spiritual meaning, the hearer is not benefited. Okay? In this case, of this parable, the seed relates to the word of God. The sowing to the broadcasting of the word or the preaching. Throwing it out there. And the soil corresponds to the heart of the hearer. The word of God here is the life-giving part. The word has the life, and the word imparts life into the soil, bringing forth a plant that grows up, wheat, and as a plant grows up, it produces seeds and fruit, which are then either scattered abroad to bring forth more plants and more seeds and more fruit. Okay? Now the disciples came to the Lord because he has this big multitude of people coming to him. Okay, they're hearing about Jesus of Nazareth, this prophet, this healer, this great man. So they're all coming to him. See? Multitude. So much so that he gets out into a boat a little ways from shore just to be able to have some space to speak to them as a group. And you would think that he would just speak plainly about his purpose for coming and the gospel, and everybody would hear it, and everybody would get saved, and they'd play "Just As I Am with One," and everybody had multitudes of people coming to believe and receive Christ. Well, he didn't do that. He gave them this parable without explanation, and they're like, okay, so we see that all the time. Yeah, you know, some guy's out sowing his field with seed. I mean, all right. Okay. And so the disciples are curious, why? So they come to him, and they ask him, verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Okay. Verse 11, he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." To you, you've been granted to have an explanation and understanding. To them, it has not. So the first thing we want to consider here is the distinction between the you who have been given understanding and the them who have not. Right? And the Lord gives further explanation about the them, but let's think about the you. So he says, to you. So who are the you he's talking to? It's his disciples. It's his disciples. Okay? And how do disciples hear? How do disciples hear? What's different about disciples? What is a disciple, anyhow? Isaiah 50. So he says to his disciples, you are the ones who have been granted. Notice Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple, the ability to speak as a disciple, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Every morning, the Lord is saying, wake up, I have something to say to you. And he's listening. He's not casually listening. He's not saying, okay, well, that's cool. What are you going to say to me, Lord? But he's listening as a student, as a learner, as somebody who's going to apply it. We see in verse 5 how a disciple listens. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. A disciple listens as one who is responding, applying, learning, growing in it, doing it. Okay. So the you are these disciples who had responded. Look at, we read part of this, John chapter 1. They had received the word. Verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we read on in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word, who became flesh. Now, it says in verse 10 of this chapter, John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So God is the initiator. Okay, here. God is the Word. The Word comes forth. And what God is looking for is what he's looking for, receptivity. He's looking for a response, as many as received him, okay, and to believe in his name. These disciples were those who responded to his call, that received it, that believed in him and were following him and applying his word. Okay? First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word is what has life. See? Word has life. And so they were born again through the receiving of the Word of God and believing it. Okay? And the Lord Jesus spoke to Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So again, the idea of a disciple is not a casual hearer, some kind of spectator, but one that is receiving and responding to it. Okay? Okay, so he's speaking about you, who are gaining understanding, are the ones who have been responding. Are you getting an understanding it? But then he speaks about them, distinct you and them. So back in our chapter, back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 again, he says, but to them it has not been granted. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. To everyone who has this understanding, more understanding will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Kind of leading to the thought of that first condition of the soil, which is the hard-packed road, where the seed just doesn't penetrate at all. It just kind of lays there, and the birds, which symbolizes Satan, just comes and takes it right away. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 14, and in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. And you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. How come they're seeing, but they're not understanding? I mean, what's the reason why nothing's sinking in and they don't understand? Well, verse 15, for the heart of these people has become dull, compacted, you know, like my clay soil in my backyard, hard as rock. See, hard as rock. Try to work with that. It's just like digging through rock. And you say, well, you got to put water on it, Gary. Put some water on it. Make it easier. It turns to muck, and it just sticks to the shovel. If you have clay soil, you can sympathize with Gary's backyard. Okay, but you see, the point is, it's hard packed because of why? Well, he says, the words of Isaiah are being fulfilled. So we ought to look at what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah chapter 5. So the prophecy was given talking about what Jesus is referencing in Isaiah 6. But in Isaiah 5, we see in verse 24, it says, therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom blown as a dust. Notice these words, for they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. See? Kept hearing, but they kept rejecting. They kept rejecting. They kept rejecting. Became hardened. Okay. Jeremiah, one book over there, Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 5, verse 21. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Okay. For time's sake, we're going to skip down to verse 23. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart, and they turn aside and departed. They have turned aside and departed. This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. God kept speaking to them, and they kept rejecting it. And the key here is the heart, not just the intellect, but the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The heart is the place of our will and our desire, our affections. That's what God aims his word at, not just our brain and our intellect. You know, lots of people are very intellectual about things, got a lot of understanding, but no heart for the Lord, see? Wonder how effective their understanding is. So, This is the state of the people at the time of Jesus, the people of God. See? Hardened. See? And he wasn't interested in giving them just some intellectual understanding. He was interested in where their heart was at. And he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Okay? Now, then he goes on and he explains to the disciples the parable and the four different conditions of the soil, the hard-packed road, and then the rocky soil, and then the soil that has thorns,
Okay? So you've got the hard packed, you've got the shallow soil, the rocky, just don't have much depth there, some of this light soil on top. Not enough for the seed to take root, really. Then you've got the one sown among the thorns where, okay, all you gardeners out there, why do you bother pulling the weeds? Because if you don't pull the weeds, the resources in the soil that you want to go to the seed are sucked up by the weeds, right? So you pull those things and you got to get them down. You got to get the whole root out, right, of the weed. You can't just, if you just pull off the top, they just go back. See? And then he talks about the good soil, okay? Talks about the good soil that produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, you say, well, Gary, I'm a Christian, I believe, therefore I have proved myself to be the good soil, okay? All right, and you could well say that this passage has a lot to do with just the life and the outcome of the life and the receiving of the word and salvation. Yes, but I would pose this question to you. Okay. So you're a disciple that has received the word, shown forth that you're good soil. Is it possible for such a disciple for their hearing to be diminished? Is it possible that just like the nation of Israel, that hardness could come into the heart of the disciple? I'm not talking about losing salvation. Don't freak on me. Not talking about that. But I'm talking about diminishing of hearing. Is it possible for the disciple's hearing to become hard? Is it possible that with a disciple that there's shallowness? Is it possible for the disciple that the cares and pleasures of the world take away the resources that should be given to the word, they're taken away, and therefore the word doesn't come and profit them? Remember, we are those who hear the word week after week, after week, after week. Now, with God, the proof is in the fruit, isn't it? What's growing? What's coming forth? For us who hear the word week, after week, after week, what is our hearing like? Okay? What is our hearing like? Well, let's see what Scripture says. Okay, for the believer, let's hear what the Scripture says. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now, Hebrews is written to Christians. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's who the book is written to. Just saying. Pointing it out. Okay, goes on in chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Now, it's not a possibility that one's heart, once enlightened and received, could become hardened. Why say it? And why warn it? The warning is there for a purpose. He says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And he goes back to the case, the example of Israel. Israel, we're called out. People of God, go to the promised land. Okay? But they didn't, but except for two, they did not, that first generation did not enter into the promised land. Why? If you take time to read the book of Hebrews, pointing out very clearly, because of their unbelief and disobedience, they did not enter in to what God had promised them, the blessing that he wanted to give them. They did not enter in because of what? Hardness of heart. Rejecting his word. All right? They were still his people. He still fed them, still led them, cared for them. But they did not enter in to all that God had promised them because of their hardness. Repeated rejection of the word of entreaty results in hardness. I don't care who you are. You know, it's like the mother who goes to the doctor and says, I think my daughter's, you know, my young daughter, I think there might be something wrong with her hearing. Doctor checks out the child and says, ma'am, your daughter has a case of mother deafness. Mother deafness. She's just ignoring what you're saying. See? Do we ever do that? Do we think it's suggested that the Lord is speaking to our heart, but I can't hear what's saying to me. And then when we get out in the parking lot, you know, the Pastor Ron has been saying to us, and we resist it, and we get out. By the time we get out of the parking lot, the devil says, here, you don't need that anyhow. You're not going to use it. It's gone. You know, I think if, as a church, we're more responsive to the word, maybe we'll actually make it through the book of Acts by the end of the decade. But Pastor Ron is looking for application, is he not? Mm-hmm. So hardness. What about the rocky soil? Remember it says, he goes on, he says in verse 20, and the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. See, there's no depth of earth. Shallowness. Look at the book of Hebrews again, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11. Concerning him, and that's Christ, we have much to say, but it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Because the problem with that rocky soil has got those hard spots, you know? Hard spots. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. They're still in the baby stage. You know, got to have pablum and milk. For everyone who partakes of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses to train to discern good and evil. See? Practice, putting into use, applying what they have heard. Isn't what Pastor Ron has been saying to us about it? Practice, practice, practice. You know, I know how to shoot a basketball. I learned years ago in junior high how to shoot a basketball, but I ain't no good. Because I haven't played basketball in I don't know how long. And it takes practice to be good. Right?
Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Notice, very interesting, he speaks to them, these believers, once again, he's speaking to believers, and he's saying that the word has already been implanted. The word's already been implanted, but you need to receive it. You need to allow it to grow. You need to allow the word to do what it wants in your life. Okay? First, in humility, let the word have its way. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves, deceive themselves. What did you come here this morning to be? If you came here to be entertained, I'm sorry. I'm not an entertainer, and I'm not entertaining you. And by the look on some of your faces, I can see I am not entertaining you. You're not entertained. Okay? What did you come here for? Did you come here just to get a nice, interesting message, to be a spectator? Or did you come here to hear what God, not what Gary, but what God wants to say to you, that you might do it? I don't have a practice card because I'm up here teaching. This is what God is saying to me. Wake up, Gary. I've been talking to you for years. Do what I'm telling you to do. Do it. For years. You ought to be praying with your wife at night, Gary. Oh, it's so hard. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. Finally, we are praying together every night. Praise God. Doing it. Stop making excuses. Otherwise, you start to reject it. You become hard to it and insensitive to it. And you can sit through a meeting and smile and wave, and really nothing happens at all. So do it. Let the Lord get the depth in our lives that He wants to get. Okay? What about the other condition that we read about, this other perilous condition? Verse 22, the one of the seed was sown among thorns. This is the man who hears the word, and the worry, so they receive the word. Yeah, amen. Amen, brother. But the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Worry. Right now, you're not with me right now because you're worried about something. Or you're distracted by something else. And the resources that should be given to the word are not there. I had a week of notice to prepare for this message. So I went before the Lord, and I asked Him to give me the message. And then I had to spend the time in the Word, thinking about it, praying about it. And that took time. And that kind of interrupted Gary's normal mode of schedule. Well, praise God. I need my normal routine of schedule to be interfered with sometimes, because that's what God wants to do. Well, I have to watch my program tonight. I got to find out what's happening on the program. So I don't have time to study the Word of God. Huh?
Oh, you're starting to sound like Pastor Ron now. Come on. Well, I mean, we have a treasure. This is an amazing treasure. It's a gold mine. Are you spending time mining out the gold? Huh? I'm preaching to myself, too. I mean, I've been studying the Word of God for 35 years, but I mean, actually 40. I'm going 40 years with the Lord. But there's still more to mine out. There's still a whole lot more.
Okay, there really is. So, cannot let the cares, we all have those cares, we all have those things, those problems, can't let the cares. And by the way, what do we do with our cares? What are we supposed to be doing with our anxieties? Are we supposed to be anxious for anything?
No, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, instead of just worrying about things, right? Right? Matthew, earlier in the book, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. You cannot serve God and riches. And likewise, in terms of anxiety about things, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. And all the people said, every day has enough trouble. So, just right now, in the moment, don't worry about Monday. Yes, a Monday's a-coming. But don't worry about it. Today, what is God saying to your heart? How is he speaking to you today? See, today. This is it. Don't worry about it. Don't try to get involved and all encumbered by the cares and troubles of the world. Give attention to the Word. Give resources to the Word. Now, I want to point out something back in Matthew 13, verse 23, about the good soil. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. I thought it was interesting because why is there a variation of yield? 100, 60, some 30. The word is the same. Is it just the receptivity of the soil? Whether it's going to be 30, whether it's going to be 60, or whether it's going to be 100-fold. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we look at this other telling. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And the seed on the good soil are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance or with patience. And that's what it takes. What it takes to be fruitful, to make it making the most of the word that has been sown in our heart is to hold it fast. Hold on to it. See, nurture it with patience, okay? We're not in a short race, we're in a marathon, this journey of faith that we're on. It takes holding it fast with patience. Let's conclude with some applications. Application, consider how you hear the word. What fruit is coming forth from the ministry received week by week? What fruit? Remember, God's into fruit. What fruit is coming forth? Do I see the fruit that's coming forth from the Word in my life week by week. Think about what Pastor Ron has been saying to us. Is it bearing fruit in our lives? Is it making a difference in our life? See? If not, blame it on the preacher. No, if not, why not? Now, I challenge you. This week, you pray earnestly for Pastor Ron that he would have God's message. You pray that you would come and we would come with open hearts, good soil, ready to receive it. Pray that. I challenge you to pray for that. That the ministry in this place will truly make a difference in our lives, week by week. Okay? Application two, ask myself the question, am I a hearer only? Am I a hearer only? Oh, we have so much ministry all over the place, getting on the radio, you know, all of, you know, videos, wherever. But am I only hearing it, or am I doing it? Third, the way to good hearing is honesty, repentance, faith, and obedience. James 1:25, again, James chapter 1, verse 25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Okay? And I assume you all want to be blessed. So, take hold of it. Do it. This is the simple message that the Lord put upon my heart, because the Lord, time is marching on. I'm turning 59. And I feel like I got a lot to grow in. Time is running out. So I need to be applying. I need to give diligence. That's how God's working in my life. And I sense that it's how God is working in a lot of our lives. You know, if your hope is in politics, if your hope is, I don't know, my hope is in the Lord. So I hope that it encourages you. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be fruitful. I believe God wants each and every one of us to be a hundredfolder here. So praise God. Let's take hold of the instruction we're receiving. God bless you. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we have had here, hearing your word. Lord, you are the faithful God who speaks to us. You speak to our hearts. I pray that each one of us would be taking hold of it according to, Lord, what you want to say to us today, what you want to say to us this week, and how you want to move our lives forward in growing up in Christ. And we thank you in the worthy name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ.